Chapter 1 of The Steppe. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. The Steppe by Anton Chekhov. Translated by Constance Garnett, 1861 to 1946. Chapter 1. Early one morning in July, a shabby covered chaise, one of those antediluvian chaises without springs in which no one travels in Russia nowadays except merchants' clerks, dealers, and the less well-to-do among priests, drove out of N, the principal town of the province of Z, and rumbled noisily along the posting track. It rattled and creaked at every movement. The pail, hanging on behind, chimed in gruffly, and from these sounds alone, and from the wretched rags of leather hanging loose about its peeling body, one could judge of its decrepit age and readiness to drop to pieces. Two of the inhabitants of N were sitting in the chaise. They were a merchant of N, called Ivan Ivanovich Kuzmichov, a man with a shaven face, wearing glasses and a straw hat, more like a government clerk than a merchant, and Father Christopher Sirayski, the priest of the Church of St. Nikolai at N, a little old man with long hair, in a grey canvas cassock, a wide-brimmed top hat, and a coloured embroidered girdle. The former was absorbed in thought, and kept tossing his head to shake off drowsiness. In his countenance an habitual business-like reserve was struggling with the genial expression of a man who has just said good-bye to his relatives and has had a good drink at parting. The latter gazed with moist eyes wonderingly at God's world, and his smile was so broad that it seemed to embrace even the brim of his hat. His face was red and looked frozen. Both of them, Father Christopher as well as Kuzmichov, were going to sell wool. At parting with their families, they had just eaten heartily of pastry puffs and cream, and although it was so early in the morning, had had a glass or two. Both were in the best of humors. Apart from the two persons described above and the coachman Deniska, who lashed the pair of frisky bay horses, there was another figure in the chaise, a boy of 9 with a sunburnt face, wet with tears. This was Yegorushka, Kuzmichov's nephew. With the sanction of his uncle and the blessing of Father Christopher, he was now on his way to go to school. His mother Olga Ivanovna, the widow of a collegiate secretary, and Kuzmichov's sister, who was fond of educated people and refined society, had entreated her brother to take Yegorushka with him when he went to sell wool and to put him to school. And now the boy was sitting on the box beside the coachman Deniska, holding on to his elbow to keep from falling off, and dancing up and down like a kettle on the hob, with no notion where he was going or what he was going for. The rapid motion through the air blew out his red shirt like a balloon on his back, and made his new hat with a peacock's feather in it, like a coachman's, keep slipping onto the back of his head. He felt himself an intensely unfortunate person, and had an inclination to cry. When the chaise drove past the prison, Yegorushka glanced at the sentinels pacing slowly by the high white walls, at the little barred windows, at the cross shining on the roof, and remembered how the week before, on the day of the Holy Mother of Kazan, he had been with his mother to the prison church for the dedication feast, and how before that, at Easter, he had gone to the prison with Deniska and Ludmila the cook, and had taken the prisoners' Easter bread, eggs, cakes, and roast beef. The prisoners had thanked them and made the sign of the cross, and one of them had given Yegorushka a pewter buckle of his own making. The boy gazed at the familiar places, while the hateful chaise flew by and left them all behind. After the prison he caught glimpses of black, grimy foundries, followed by the snug green cemetery surrounded by a wall of cobblestones. White crosses and tombstones nestling among green cherry trees and looking in the distance like patches of white peeped out gaily from behind the wall. Yegorushka remembered that when the cherries were in blossom, those white patches melted with the flowers into a sea of white, and that when the cherries were ripe, the white tombstones and crosses were dotted with splashes of red, like
Sample complete. Ready to continue?